Check one.
Check two. Can you hear it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Love is Like a Plant. I'm Sarah May, and we've both been gone for a while. We are back in the studio. We missed you guys.
We missed you.
We've both been very busy doing awesome things, so that's why we have not been recording. But it's no excuse. So we're back today, and that's good. The good news. So, Elle, what have you been up to?
Let's see. I have been working on a major update to the app. So we haven't had a major update since we launched last year. So we've redesigned pretty much everything.
Wow.
And we're getting really, really close to being done and sharing it with everyone. So I'm so excited. But that's been taking up all my time since January, since I think our Happy New Year episode. Was that our last episode? Mm-hmm. So we were like, Happy New Year. And then we disappeared for a few months because we were really busy on our resolutions, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And you were on the Super Bowl.
I wasn't personally on, well, my name was on the Super Bowl.
Major deal.
I had a commercial that was on the Super Bowl. And it was inspiring, hopefully.
It definitely was. It was the Honda ad, which I'm sure you guys all saw with the yearbook photos.
Yes,
I freaked out. I was like more excited about that than Lady Gaga.
Ah, that makes me happy. What else have I been up to? School, getting my degree, which is neither here nor there because I'm in school forever now. Probably it's, but it's still good. Still good to learn. Get my MFT. Still refining the album, as you guys know who are in my test audience, and still doing the blog and the Help Me Be Me podcast, which is fun, doing a lot of press, which is really fun. So you'll probably see me tweeting like other people's articles, but that's because I'm being interviewed. So that's why you should read it and share it.
That's cool. And Elle, keep an eye out.
Elle got an article in the fucking New York Times. That's sort of blew my mind. Yeah.
And Love is Like a Plant was mentioned.
That was like also pretty awesome.
It's an early Valentine's Day surprise. We did not know that was going live on February 1st.
Was amazing. It was so cool.
Thanks.
Yay.
So it's been busy, but we're happy to be back. And yes. We have a lot to talk about.
We definitely have a lot to talk about. We thought, why not start off by talking about first heartbreaks? Because you never forget them. The very first time your heart was broken is probably the kind of sets the tone for a lot of your beliefs about love for the rest of your life. So we thought we would share our own personal stories and what we learned from those brokenhearted moments.
I feel like we should fade in first cut. First cut is the deepest, right? That's playing in my head right now.
I will do it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. So the first cut is the deepest.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely believe that. And I think, I don't know, it's interesting. Like some people go through a breakup, their first breakup, and it doesn't really affect them that much. And then they go through a breakup later on and it just like hits them like a Mack truck. And I feel like it's really not necessarily your first breakup, but it's your first major heartbreak.
Mm-hmm.
That's what really gets you. So for some people, it's different. For me, it was my first breakup and my first heartbreak at the same time.
Oh my God, gnarly.
Yeah. And I think you feel like it will never get better. I think that's usually a sentiment that a lot of people share who are heartbroken for the first time. It's just like you can't imagine not being in pain.
Yeah. It does feel like almost like, you know, kicking heroin type of incapacitation.
Yeah.
Where your like body is just your soul feels like deadened. It's such an intense chemical process outside of just the actual practicality of like loss, you know, of like not having the same person in your life that you used to have. But yeah, it's so physically hard.
It is. Do you remember? So how old were you, your first heartbreak? And was it your first breakup or no?
It was not
my first major.
I was probably the first breaker.
Okay.
And it was one of those dumb, it was such a stupid. I like didn't, I can't even, I like get mad at myself just thinking about it. I can't even. Yeah, it was one of those things where I was like, another person came along that I liked more. And I didn't break up with the other person. And it, like, broke, not only broke that person's heart, it, like, destroyed all of these, like, my friendships around that.
Wow.
It was, like, the worst explosion. But immediately after that, I would say my first, like, high school romance.
Yeah.
Which I was, like, chemically completely head over heels.
Yeah.
Yeah, broke up with me and then went, got back together with his ex-girlfriend. And I remember being, like, you know, public spectacle, puddle of tears, like screaming, like crying, and just devastated. Like did the whole, you know, twisting the knife.
Yeah.
Constant, like, and then still believed somewhere that we would maybe get back together again.
Oh, yeah.
Like that was like the hope. I'm like, this can't be.
Right.
It just can't be.
I think it's really hard to accept the reality of your very first heartbreak, that it is over, because you feel so strongly that you've found your person.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if you're like 15 or 20 or 30 or whatever, but you just feel like you found that person and that the search is over.
Yeah.
And that you're never going to have to search again. So then when you do, when you're faced with the reality that, you know, that future is gone and you do have to do that search again, it feels really surreal, I think.
Yeah, and you can't imagine that the other person doesn't feel like you do.
Right.
Like, you're like, but that is not possible. Like,
right.
The equation doesn't just, it doesn't add up in your own brain.
Right.
What was your first heartbreak?
So, my first heartbreak was my first breakup, and I was about 18, and I just remember it. I felt like I was dying, literally. I just remember, like, it felt like everything was shutting down.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't think about anything else. And I was, I think, just also in denial that it was happening. And I definitely was clinging to the idea that we would get back together. So I think I put myself in a mode of, like, looking for any signs and any scraps that we were going to get back together, and I just focused on that instead of really dealing with trying to move forward.
Totally.
It took me a long time to just even accept that we were not going to be together.
Right.
Yeah.
I know. I think I even, like, remember talking to his mom and being like, but we're still friends. Like, this means that we have a deeper bond. Like, I'm like, this is meaningful. And
right.
I'm like, this isn't forever. Like, there's no way I'm going to stay friends with his mom. Like, this is a high school boyfriend. This makes no sense.
Right. So what would you say to yourself? Okay, let's say you have a daughter and she's going through her first major heartbreak. What would you tell her about the first time that you were heartbroken and what you learned?
I feel like it's impossible. It's almost like in that moment of grief and the intensity of it, really, it's just like telling someone, like, I've been there.
Right.
And it'll end.
Right.
It seems like it's the worst thing in the world, but it'll be over and it'll be a little less painful with each day. It's almost like you have to treat someone like they're, you know, an invalid, like they're sick.
Yeah, I think
it's so. It's like triage.
Yeah.
Like, here's some soup, here are some comedies. And
right.
I will hang out with you, and I will do nails with you, and
right.
I will, like, and then tomorrow is a new day.
Yeah. Wait, did you say toenails?
I will do nails
with
you.
Oh, do nails. I was like, is that a new game?
I feel like it's also about making sure you don't, like, it's about maintaining as much dignity as well
100%.
During that time.
Yeah, of which I think I had no dignity in my very first breakup.
It's
I think
hard.
It's almost a rite of passage, but I do think it's...
Totally a rite of passage.
Yeah, it is. It's like the forgetting Sarah Marshall freak out phase. But I agree with you. I think it is very, that first breakup, if you've never been heartbroken before, you don't know what happened. You don't know what hit you. And it is so physical and chemical. And so I do think that it is triage, and you just have to focus on, it's like the hierarchy of needs. Mm-hmm. Like if you try to speak to someone at that point about the future, or right. you try to talk to them rationally about why the breakup happened or what they're going to learn about it, it's really difficult. I think you just have to focus on having their basic needs met.
Yeah.
Like, are they sleeping? Are they mm-hmm. eating? Are they moving their body? You know, you just have to start there.
Yeah. And I also feel like, I think what you said was like, you were so hopeful that you were taking every, you know, any kind of interpretation of anything to mean the best. It's like your brain literally will look for anything and only withdraw like the positives, because you want us so badly to like see a certain thing. I feel like I have, you know, talked to people where they are telling me what someone said, and I'm like, that is very clearly this is over, but like your brain won't allow you to accept it. It's like the denial will block the truth, and often, you know, I feel like it is really helpful to just ask a completely objective and honest friend if you're in that state of like, but they said da da da, and then they hugged me, and like, didn't that mean, doesn't this mean blah blah, like be as best you can, like be as honest with yourself as you can, you know, muster, because it's in your best interest ultimately.
Yeah.
To heal.
And I do think just hearing someone else say I've been there is so helpful, mm-hmm. because when you haven't been there and you don't know that place, it's like you can't imagine getting through it, which mm-hmm. is crazy. And like now looking back on it, I think you and I have both experienced multiple heartbreaks. Like, we know that we can make it through. Like, yeah. we know that you survive and your life continues on. But when you have never gotten through it, you don't know that you can get through it.
Yeah, it feels like your life is over.
Yeah.
And you can convince yourself, too, that this is, like, the one true love. Especially if you've never found love before, it can be really disorienting. You can think, like, but this was the one. And I can't go on. So just know that if you're in that state, it's just about getting just passage of time, just traversing as much time as you possibly can, because you are not rational now. You don't know what is up and what is down. You cannot judge anything about your life from that place. Everything seems terrible. It's just, it will for a yeah. while. Lots of comedies. What else did you do when you were in your... I feel like
my first breakup. Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's so unfortunate, right? Because your first breakup, a lot of times, not always, but it's like it's the one that makes you the most crazy a lot of times, because you've never dealt with it before. And yet it's also the one where you're least equipped to deal with it. And yeah. it's so unfair in some ways, right? Yeah. And so I do think that you really have to reach out for support, because you don't really know how to best support yourself. Like, a lot of times you're doing things that aren't healthy and yeah. aren't good for you. And your friends don't necessarily give the best advice at that phase, because if they're the same age and they haven't gone through what you're going through, like, they may not know what to say or what to do. So I do think it is good to reach out to people who have been through it before. And I know in my case, I definitely did that, and I leaned on my parents. But I think one of the kindest things that my ex from that phase of my life did was just completely cut me off.
Mm.
And I think at the time, I thought it was so awful. Now I know that it was really the nicest thing that he could have done, because it just cut me off from that source of pain. And, you know, because I was at a point where it was just nothing I was asking or wanting to know was productive.
Right.
And I think he recognized that and sort of set me free, even though it didn't feel that way right. at the time. And I think that was a lesson I carried into future breakups, you know, when I needed to, you know, take on that role to ensure that the other person wasn't hurting themselves. I did because I knew that it worked.
Right.
Yeah.
That's totally, I think, why the let's take a break is like the cruelest form of a breakup, because
oh,
I think
so cruel.
People think they're doing someone a favor by softening the blow, but what you're actually doing is just putting someone's life on hold and giving them false hope. It's like so unfair. So yeah, I agree with you. It's like the clean break is always the best. And if you think, okay, but we're friends and we're going to be friends, like you can do that, but you have to clean that bone and let it heal before you can do that. I think it's like they say usually a year before you can actually have a healthy relationship if you've been romantically involved. But yeah, no contact, no helping each other through it, clean break. And I think that guy probably was very mature to have been able to do that, because like it is hard.
Yeah, it is hard.
If you break up with someone, you feel really bad.
Yeah.
And you don't want to hurt them more.
Yeah. He was a little bit older than me, and I think he had been through another breakup where he had been on the other side.
Mm.
Otherwise, we probably would have just kept talking for years, probably. Mm. So, yeah, I'm very grateful for that.
It's tough.
First heartbreak. we're looking into each other's eyes. Just all of our relationships flashing in front of us.
They are, like, good teachers, though. I mean, the bright side is, like, every relationship will give you some other part of yourself, and you learn how okay you actually are, you know? Like, you don't need anybody ever to be happy. And when you go through a breakup, you just get a little bit stronger as a result of it, and the next time, you'll be a little bit stronger, and eventually, you won't have a breakup, and you'll be happy. But it's one of those lessons that is like it's one of the hardest to learn. It's like one of the hardest times, I think, I would say in your entire life is a breakup. It's like one of the biggest traumas.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it is a rite of passage in some ways, and it is so nice to know once you've made it to the other side that you can handle it. Because mm-hmm. then whenever you're facing that same moment, you can kind of go back and it's a touchstone. And you're like, okay, I've been there. I've been here. I'll get through it. I know that I will survive and my life will go on. And so if you don't feel that way yet, you can take our word for it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, we hope this helped you and didn't make you feel sad. It's a bittersweet thing, our first heartbreaks.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think people listening are probably either... Well, they're either relating to it because they're going through their first major breakup, or they're thinking about their first major breakup.
Yeah, it is yeah, like
it's
a flashback.
So bittersweet, right? Mm-hmm. It seems like forever ago for me.
I know. I'm like keep going into memory. well, we hope you liked this. And if you did, please, please leave us a review on iTunes or share this episode. And tweet us if you have a breakup story that you want to share. We'd love to hear it. And maybe how you dealt with it or how you helped yourself. So, Elle, what do you think love is like?
Love is like a red vine, sweet and low in calories.